You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday, July 17th.
Yes, it is. The All-Star Game is tonight. I was right yesterday.
You're ready. You had that in the prompt ready.
I was so unsure of myself yesterday, and then I was really embarrassed, and I was like, I know it's tonight.
It was deeply life-changing. I went and did nothing about it.
Right? I know. Because well, sports ball.
My morning consisted of dumping coffee beans everywhere. So
well, no. I exploded a pint of blueberries all over the place on Sunday. So
it's a good day. It's a good week. Are you content with spilling blueberries all over the place or dumping coffee beans?
It was hilarious. I literally sat on the floor and just laughed.
I salvaged the beans. I was like, these are too valuable. What coffee do you have this morning?
I still ate the blueberries, by the way. I washed them, but then I ate them. I have Jamaica, the last of our Jamaican at home. But we have four other kinds, so we'll be okay.
You have plenty of coffee. You're good to go. It is Tuesday, July 17th. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Live Uncommon. You can find them on our website as well in the underwriter section, the upper left-hand corner of the website. Is that right?
I believe so. Unless you're on the
that's where you
mobile.
Put it. So, oh, that's true.
Well, that's true.
That's true. If you're on mobile or a smaller screen, it might move it into what?
It's in a different place.
Different location.
Now I have to go look because I don't remember what where it is on the mobile.
Are you content? I am content. I always misread this as I am content.
Yeah, which is really funny, actually.
Which doesn't make a very good story. Being content, what does it mean to be content? Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Rick Mars. He's Associate Professor of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Mars, good morning. Welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Very good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
I hear you're remembering your baptism, dodging the power washing this morning.
Oh, yeah, there was some power washing going on here at the seminary this morning, so I had to go in a different door than I normally go into. So glad they're cleaning things up around here.
Well, thanks for being our guest. Things going well at Concordia Seminary today, other than, you know, power washing and baptismal remembrance.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Summer's always a little bit different, and this is our first summer on semester system, it's even a little more different than before. So there are students taking Hebrew and Greek here that in a slightly different format than they had before. So
experiencing transitions, that sets us up perfectly for today's conversation.
Good.
What does being content really mean? What does it mean to be content?
And it was interesting even looking that word up in the dictionary, because like I think you might have alluded to, it doesn't come up as it comes up as content first, and then there's a whole bunch of different technical terms for content, and you have to actually look up contentment before you actually get to what we're talking about, kind of that feeling of satisfaction, of at ease. The dictionary actually said a mild tentative form of happiness. So what is a tentative form of happiness?
Wow.
But, it's at least moving in that direction of not having a lot of, well, again, I'm both a psychologist and a pastor, seminary professor. The field of psychology likes to talk about positive psychology because it spent so many years talking about the negative aspects of our human condition, of all the things that can go wrong with us, with all the disorders or all the upset emotions. But it does have a whole area of positive psychology now where it's saying, how can we be more positive, more happy, more content with our lives, rather than disturbed or discontent, which can include a whole gaggle of things. So we can be angry, we can be fearful, we can be sad, we can be envious, we can be covetous, all kinds of things that can be on the discontent side of this. But how do we become content in our Christian lives here and now? That's a great question.
And I really wanted to dig into what this means in terms of our vocations and daily living, because I think I was having a conversation a while ago with somebody about being content versus making plans, like planning for the future, but also being content with where I am right now. Are those two things opposed, or do they kind of go together, or how do we figure that out?
Yeah, it's probably like anything in life. If we find the happy medium, we're probably going to be fine. But because we are in this sinful world, Romans chapter 8, groaning through this sinful time, the struggle in this decaying creation until Jesus comes, there's always going to be errors where either we are over-focused on planning and not content until all of our plans come together, or under-planning and not doing the good stewardship things and the parts of our vocation, like you said, that God has called us to do. He wants us to live peace-filled, grace-filled lives so that other people will go, what's different about those Christians? Why do they seem more at peace than the rest of us? You know, the rest of us are struggling with, I'm not making enough money, or what are the big picture, the answers to life, or what happens to me after I die? And Christians seem to be kind of satisfied with all of this. Even the ones that don't have lots of money seem to be content, at peace with who they are as a person. So yeah, it's kind of, where can we be planful and being good stewards of what God has given to us, but not envious or covetous if our plans don't play out the way that we wanted them to.
Now, you brought another word into the conversation here. You brought in the word peace. What is this concept of peace from? Well, let's look at it from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, I think that's really important because I don't know how often we'd find contentment or whatever. It probably happens a few times in the scriptures, but I think the Greek word eirene and the Hebrew word shalom, which is then what eirene is based upon then in the New Testament, but shalom, peace, means not just feeling content on the inside, but it's the whole peace comes to us from the outside. Our whole well-being comes to us from the God who created us and the God who redeems us and the God who brings us to faith in the one who has redeemed us and rescued us from this sinful world. And we can, again, every day say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because we're not content living in this sinful world, but we are content because we know this is his plan for us at this particular time. So, yeah, I just clicked into my computer this morning to look at all the places where peace shows up in the New Testament. Jesus, especially in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus is talking about the negative emotions that can come about, troubledness and fear, but he goes beyond that. He can remove that ultimately from us, not every jot and tittle of it, because we still struggle in this life, but when we realize, oh, the Son of God actually came down from heaven and was made man and gave himself up for us and suffered and died on a cross so that I wouldn't have to be separated from God, because ultimately the peace that we have with God, the vertical peace, is what's completely most important. So if we have that vertical peace with God and we know who we are as his children, his adopted children, then we can feel more at peace in the horizontal, in the day-to-day living that we are in this time. So,
and I think you mentioned this, that it is a daily struggle between knowing that our identity is in Christ and that we are children of God, baptized children of God, but then also having these vocations of being in the world and having a career that maybe is it's hard to live as a baptized child of God because of whatever situations. Are there strategies, I guess, or things that we can do to remember our identity in Christ and to seek this peace that only comes from God?
Yeah. Well, again, regularly hearing the words of peace that we do have from our Lord. I like that we end a lot of our sermons in our Lutheran church with Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when people regularly, I mean, again, our busy American culture says, oh, you know, you can get by with just going to church, you know, once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. You'll be just fine because Jesus still loves you. Jesus still does love you, but we need to hear his words of peace, or else we get caught up and disconnected from him, and other things come to us from the outside that impact our old Adam and make him more powerful rather than strengthening our new Adam, who is at peace with God and knows that peace, that vertical peace that we do have. So things that they can do, I mean, meditation and prayer, meditation on God's word. Ironically, I'm actually speaking at Faith Oakville tonight and next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on the topic of anxiety and depression. They've asked me to come down there and speak on those, and so it's kind of related, the opposite side of what you guys are talking about. And people are invited to come, although if they do come, they should probably call Mary at Faith Oakville ahead of time, because they're trying to plan for numbers and things like that. So, but yeah, next week I'll probably take people through a meditation experience that comes from William Hulme, who is a seminary professor, not here, but another Lutheran seminary 30 years ago. And he just was kind of ahead of his time and teaching us how to do some prayerful meditation on God's word rather than the secular meditation where we focus on ourselves and focus on some sort of inner being. We want to focus on the outside, what God has given to us, and he's gifted us with so much. I mean, just we are his created beings, but now we're even more than that. We're his recreated sons and daughters, and to know that love can and should give us the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Rick Mars, Associate Professor of Practical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour this morning, Dr. Mars.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me.
God's peace.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
As he was sharing the Greek word for peace, that took me back to my days of Greek studies with Professor Frelick at Concordia University. And boy, that man has some great patience to put up with me as a Greek student. More Coffee Hour on the way. Pastor Trevor Sutton, Facebook? Is it changing religion? You listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golson.